Remember, you are the lamb that Jesus came to rescue. And we want the freedom stories to begin because Jesus came. We have two lambs on stage with us this morning, Lee and Shannon Weaver. They're going to share a freedom story with you because Jesus came into their messy situation and he brought hope and help. That's why Jesus has come. And maybe you're here this morning. And you can identify with this freedom story. We want you to know. You're also a lamb that Jesus came to rescue. Will you let him?
Do you want to talk first? We kind of thought about how we would tell the amazing, amazing, amazing thing that God's done in our lives in 10 minutes. And so I think I'll just start to banter. The interesting thing is Pastor talked a couple minutes ago about covenant, and you know, we didn't understand covenant until we basically didn't have anything left. And there was a picture on the screen 2 minutes ago, and it was of somebody with their hands up and their head down. And I don't know if Shannon knows this, but I remember sitting at the symphony in the back stairwell where nobody knew I was. And I remember crying so hard and so long that there was a puddle. There was a puddle of all of my tears. And I thought to myself, God, where are you? Because I don't think you exist anymore. I gave you my heart when I was 5. I was raised in a pastor's home. I knew all the right answers. I had an understanding of who Christ was in my head. And I knew all the answers. But the interesting thing is, we can't share how amazing God's grace is without first just telling you a tiny, tiny excerpt of how yucky life can get. So the interesting, unbelievable. It's unbelievable how you can get to a place in your life where you actually question if God exists. Especially after you've seen, I grew up in the church, I saw people healed in services. I saw amazing miracles of God. But you know what, we get doing things on our own and on our own strength. And we definitely stop leaning on God and start putting our focus on other things. And you know, we started to basically live life out of a place of curse. We were just like in Malachi. Malachi 2 says, if you do not listen and if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says Lord God Almighty, I will send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I've already cursed them because you have not set your heart to honor me. And the interesting thing is that we didn't set out as a couple to walk down the road that we went down. We, you know what, we started early in our married life as on staff at churches, ministering to people. And so, you know, to tell you how fast compromise happens, it's unbelievable. The devil will allow things in your life. You can wrap your head around this or not, or tell me I'm crazy, but that's okay. In my life, I can tell you this is true. The devil will manipulate circumstances in your life so that you will take these hurts, these wounds, and you will believe the lies the enemy tells you about them. And then they will become basically inner vows, and they'll become strongholds in your life. It's wounds, lies, vows, and strongholds. And so whatever that is in your life, maybe it's, you know, abuse in the past. We dealt with that last weekend in an amazing conference. Whether that's, you know, just not listening or understanding what God's saying in your life, whatever that is. And then he takes you off on this tangent. And Shannon and I and our three boys, we came here and we were devastated, we were destroyed, and we were broken. There was nothing left. Shannon hates when I say that, but we had nothing left. We would come here and sip the coffee, and, you know, Trevor and his wife or whoever was making the coffee, you know, we literally came here because of the coffee. Completely and totally serious. The really quick version of this is the fact that the devil will allow circumstances in your life to happen so that, you know, hopefully he'll destroy you. Hopefully you'll start to believe what he's telling you. I was a technical director for a very large rock and roll show about 10 years ago or something like that. And we worked with a whole bunch of people that you would know. Well, some of you know. Really, really big. About 20,000 people came, and I was in charge of all the crew, and we basically set up this whole outdoor show. And there were probably, I had 20 or 30 people working for me, and we would, you know, we'd work literally, you know, all day long and all night long, and some of us slept in trucks, and I went home and slept, you know, in my bed for 2 hours, and then would come back and back and back and back. And at the end of the show, this really big, incredibly exciting thing, the guy looked over at me and said, basically, I can't pay you. So I went from, you know, just a hardworking father of three, you know, little boys and a wife at home that was taking care of our children, single income, to having not only nothing, but having negative $60,000 in just a stroke. That was really frustrating. And, you know, some people would say, well, you go to your parents and you go to your dad and ask for money and that sort of thing. But that wasn't a possibility in our lives. So then basically, because of my prominence on the show, I was basically second in command or authority at that show. I started getting phone calls. And the one phone call I got, which Shannon didn't know about until probably a couple years ago, was we want our couple $100,000 from the guy that did the show, and basically my partners are unscrupulous, essentially connected, and we're coming to Stratford and we're going to kill you, and then we're going to go and kill him. And kind of scared the life out of me. I was kind of freaked out. And so, I mean, I think really that started the... I just started to drink my brains out, to be honest with you. I was scared to death. And we had the city of Stratford police for watching our house 24 hours a day, and my wife didn't know that. And then the other phone calls that Shannon didn't know about, I got a phone call one day and quickly left the house and then ran down to the variety store and answered that phone call. And it was from some bikers, and they were looking for the same sort of money from different ways. So this really just was the starting point for this mountain of stress that really affected me, affected my wife, my children, my family. Because of that, we believe that, like 2 Corinthians 11:3, we can be deceived. Says, but I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and your pure devotion to Christ. Because of these circumstances, I just started to be inwardly focused. And in order to pay one of my bills, I got the opportunity to work for a company, but essentially I worked for free. So I flew across Canada doing shows, and I'd fly out for a week and then fly back in and see the children, Shannon, for a day or two, and then basically fly back out. And we basically got to the point where we were starting to compromise. We started to grow apart as a couple. And I mean, there were legitimate reasons why these things were happening. And throughout my whole childhood and throughout my whole adulthood, I thought of the scripture Philippians 2:12, and you probably know it because I think, you know, a lot of us grew up knowing it, and that was, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And the interesting thing is, when we're doing stuff like, you know, trying to do things on our own, we start to rely on our own strength, and we start to make these vows. You know, if my acceptance is earned, then I'll do anything I can to be accepted. And this performance orientation starts to take place. And that ends up happening in your relationships, in your workplace, in church. I began to get up and lead worship in front of people and began to rely on my talent as opposed to really hearing from God. I started out loving God with all my heart. There was a pure and sincere devotion to God. I just wanted him and I wanted more of him. But the interesting thing was, I wasn't discipled, as Pastor's been telling us for the last 6 or 8 weeks downstairs. We've been talking about being discipled. And a whole bunch of us make that decision for Christ, and then we don't grow these deep roots down. So then when these storms come, we don't have the ability to stand firm against the evil one. But the interesting thing is, that was the curse. And so then the other side of that is the exciting, amazing, outrageous work that God did in our lives. And it starts in Philippians 2:13, which is really cool, because if you kept reading, you'd go, oh, that's really cool. It says, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purposes. So there's no more striving to be accepted. There's no more having to earn my salvation. It's unfortunate that as we're taught as young people and young adults and as adults learning to know God, it's interesting that we don't read the next one and it doesn't come alive in us. The Bible's like these, it's like this written word. It's like the Logos. It's the Greek is the Logos, and it's this written word. But when it comes alive in you, it becomes the Rhema. And the interesting thing about knowing Christ in your head and knowing Christ in your heart is, when you know it in your heart, then things start to come alive and things start to be real. And we just started to understand exactly what it meant for 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 to say, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, he will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. So I will very quickly try and fill you in on this. We were sitting in this church, and Shannon looked over at me and said, this is last year, you know, we should go to that Stainer camp. And so we called Stainer, and they were like, you know, we've been booked for 6 months, right? But for some reason, we have one cabin open. And so we said, we'll take it. So we went to Stainer, and we walked in, and we were like, oh, great, we're at Seniors Week, quite literally. It was like, okay, this is square, and I'm being honest. And we sat down in the very first service, and Dr. Tim Warner got up, and within 2 seconds, he had my attention. He said, I grew up in a home that was performance-oriented, and I started to understand God in that, from that perspective. And while I won't give him justice repeating his words, he started to teach me through the whole week, and I wrote all the notes. I have all the notes here on napkins. It's really cool. And he started to teach us what it was to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. So Ephesians 1:20 talks all about that. And it's really interesting, because if you really quickly read it, you don't get it. But if you slow down and you say, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly realms, far above the rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and he appointed him to be head over everything in the church, which is body, and the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. It's interesting because I skipped the point, but it's really quite relevant. I came from a place where I was in a motel room, completely drunk, completely away from my wife and my family. I hadn't honored my family and completely separated, and I just wanted to die. And the police came and they picked me up and they checked me into the mental institution. And I think that that was the start for me to say, God, you know, I completely messed this up. And I didn't realize that my wife was at home praying for me. And the power and the mercy and the grace of Jesus became real in my life. Shannon and I went back home. It's a really long story, but the short version is I went back home from nothing. He began to just cover us with this blessing. And every time we would be alone, this song would come on, and it was talking about he's dancing over us. And Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save, and he takes great delight in you. He will quiet his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. And the interesting thing is, you may be here sitting and you're fine and, you know, you've got this real heart relationship with Jesus. But the other thing is that you might be like us and you're sitting here and you have hurts in your life that you just absolutely think that God just doesn't exist and that he's not able to restore. But I can tell you that he is. And this place is a place of healing. This place right here. And miracles are happening in your midst, and you may or may not know about that, but they are. So bless God.
Just stay here, folks. Going to have the worship team come. Folks, in a year and a half, you've just witnessed what the Lord has done in bringing Lee and Shannon and their family into wholeness and spiritual help. And folks, we just want you to know that it was with only God's grace that they're able to stand up here this morning. This took a lot of courage. But when I called Lee on Thursday, I think it was, and I said, Lee, I didn't even have a chance to talk to you, Shannon, but I just said, Lee, I said, would you guys be willing? And he says, yes, but I also know that there's a cost. And they're here to tell you. And that's why we want to sing 10,000 reasons. But we also want to extend the invitation to anyone this morning. I don't know what your circumstances are. I don't know where you're at in relationships or whatever. But I know that Lee and Shannon would love to talk with you and to pray with you. If there's something there that you identify with them. Because you remember, you can't lead anybody else any higher than you yourself have gone. They would love to lead you to the height that the Lord has brought them. Because it is out of the fullness of their heart, their mouth is speaking. And they have words of life to share. And they will be light and life. Father, I just pray over Lee and Shannon right now and over their dear family. And I declare, I am confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you shall continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I know that verse is so key to you, and we repeat it again. Don't you fear, and don't you let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. This is going to continue. And Father, we just believe that there are going to be many others in this place, in this congregation, who are also going to experience the same truth, the same freedom that Lee and Shannon have discovered. And it's all because Jesus came. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lee and Shannon are going to be right down here. And they're going to be ready to pray for you, talk with you if that's what you would like to do. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And let's let the worship team lead us. And let's rejoice in singing 10,000 reasons. 10,000 reasons. Bless the Lord.